Thank you. Hey, everyone. I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive eater. It's really good to be here and it's good to see everybody. So I've actually been in this program for most of my life. I actually came in to the very first meeting when I was 12 years old. I've always felt like I was a compulsive eater, like born into this illness, because I don't have a conscious memory of a time when food didn't rule my entire life. And from a very young age, I just knew that food was important to me and meant something to me that it did not mean to other people. And my mom would tell me stories as a child about my food, and I didn't even have conscious memories yet because I was so young, but my mom used to tell me stories about how I would like throw fits and have these huge temper tantrums, and she would try to do everything in her power to control my food, and there was nothing that comforted me like food, and that's all I ever wanted from a baby. And when I was about 14 years old, my grandparents offered me $5,000 to lose weight, and that was my very first taste of powerlessness because I wanted that money more than I wanted anything else in this world, and I could not do it. I can never lose weight. I can never stay on a diet. I can never stop eating long enough for any extended period of time. And when I went to that first meeting when I was 12, I was not nowhere near ready, to even understand or accept anything this program has to offer. But besides that, I was like forced into it by the school district. I was really heavy and I was bullied in school a lot. And I went into this independent study program. And at the time, homeschooling was not a thing like it is today. Bullying was not a thing. Like nobody cared. And my mom used to have lots and lots of meetings with principals and teachers, and no one would do anything. And one day she just took me out of school and I never went back. And I went to independent study program and went from getting horrible grades to really good grades once I was out of that environment. And the two women there that were like the teachers told me that I had to go to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting or go back to public school. And that was my first taste of coming to OA. And today I think those women may have saved my life, because who knows if I would have ever even heard about OA, And, I just went to the one meeting, but the seed was planted. I knew there was something called Overeaters Anonymous. I never forgot about it. And then years later, fast forward, I'm 23 years old and I'm at my top weight, which is 479 pounds. And I was so young, so it hadn't yet taken a huge toll on me physically, but it was enough. I mean, I had a lot of physical manifestations, that I didn't really know were abnormal. Because, like it talks about in the big book, our life was the only normal one. My heart would pound out of my chest at night. Sometimes I could barely sleep because the pounding of my heart was so loud. And I remember telling this, like, I just said it in passing, like it was no big deal one time to somebody, that I can barely sleep sometimes because my heart is so loud. And he was like, "Really? I never hear mine." And until that person said that to me, like, I did not know that wasn't normal, And I ate myself through everything, through good, bad, sad, anger. I used to be this completely angry person. Like, there was a time in my life where people, like this man came up off the street one time and told me, "You're so full of anger, I would hate to be married to you." Like, that is like the aura that I put out in the universe. And, I look at my life through stages of my weight. When I was about 12 years old, when I was like 11 or 12, I was already 225 pounds. When I was 14 or 15, I was already over 400 pounds. I came into these rooms the second time, on my own when I was 23. I went to a couple meetings. I immediately felt like I was home the second time around. And I had just started a diet. That diet became my first abstinence. And I lost weight. I stayed absent for a year. I did not get a sponsor. I went to one meeting a week. I did not call anybody. I was so isolated inside, and I was this like withdrawn, shy girl that was just completely shut down. I didn't even know it. And, I got all the literature. I obsessively read everything. I worked the 12 steps to the best of my ability on my own. I basically read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous before there was even a 12 and 12. It was just the 12. And I read it and I did what I thought, what I interpreted it to mean. And it worked until it didn't work again, And I always say, like, I worked a version of the 12 steps. They're not the 12 steps that I work today, but it was enough until it wasn't. And I put down the food for a year. I lost 130 pounds. It just fell off my butt, just melted off my body. And I really believe that that was my higher power keeping me in these rooms, because if I hadn't had that initial weight loss and that initial freedom, like, I would have been out the door thinking this is just another one of those programs that doesn't work, because after that I proceeded to relapse over and over and over and over again. But one thing I did is I never stopped coming back. I knew there was something special here that I'd never ever found anywhere else. And I held on to that hope, I held on to that hope so deeply. And I just knew that if I kept trying and I kept persevering, one day I would get it. And I had a lot of absence. It just wasn't consecutive. I had like a lot of 30 days, a lot of 60 days, 6 months. I had, a year here and there. And so I had a lot of recovery. But then I would just rest on my laurels and I would stop doing what worked. And I would, this program took a backseat in my life. And today I believe this program has to be everything in the world to me, because anything that I put before this program, I will lose. And this program has given me a purpose and a joy and a living and a life that I never knew I could ever have. And it goes way beyond the weight. There's so many things that have happened in my life and so many things that I know today food will not fix. I came in like this completely broken young girl that was just like traumatized by the world and couldn't even look anybody in the eye. And I was like beaten down and hopeless and helpless. And today I'm like this woman that's full of growth and integrity, and I live a principled life today. And I walk with my head held high, and people are happy to see me, and I'm happy to see them, and I'm like a part of this world and a productive member of society. In this disease, I cannot be a productive member of anything. I've lost jobs to this disease because I was so busy eating and so hyped up on sugar that, nothing else mattered to me. And one time I got lost on the bus when I didn't have a car for hours because I was so pumped up on sugar that my eyes were glossy and I got on the wrong bus. And I didn't even know where I was going or where I was. I am like a drunk with food. When I eat, like I swerve my car. Like my head isn't straight. I relate so deeply to the Big Book, and I've never been drunk. I've never taken an illegal drug. And I could watch a movie about a heroin addict shooting things in their arm, and it's the same exact thing to me as all the food that I shot into my body all these years. And, I am a low bottom drunk with a cardboard box, paper bag, and in the street corner, under the bridge. Like that's what I do with food. And, today I don't live that way anymore. Monday night miracles. I love that. I was thinking about all the miracles in my life, and I don't even mention the weight really until like the last thing, because honestly, it is one of the smallest gifts this program has ever given me. My daughter, she's special needs, and we went through so much hell over the years, and this program gave me the ability to be a good parent to her. I was able to deal with her special needs in a way that is loving and kind, but also like we have this special relationship. And sometimes I would be able to like, so it's like my higher power would just come in the middle of a meltdown, and I would do something stupid or funny or like pretend to fall or make up a stupid, silly song, and we would both start laughing, and she would forget everything that was going on. Like without this program, like I just want to like I hate the world. One time I remember that I grabbed her and I didn't mean to do this, but like I was so full of rage that I went to grab her and I was going to spank her because she was misbehaving. And like I grabbed her and she like flew into the wall and like her tooth had to be pulled and someone called CPS and it was like this big old investigation. That's what this disease does to me. That's where this disease takes me. And I have been in and out of homeless shelters. My daughter's dad, he kept leaving us over and over and over again. And when I'm in my disease, I am incapable of making decisions, of making good logical decisions for me and my family. And I kept going back to him, and he was like a drug too because I didn't know my self-worth. Like I let people do whatever they wanted to me because that's all I was worth. And I kept going back. We ended up in and out of homeless shelters. Like my life was just a train wreck. And today, like I have a home. I have a stable home. I've been at my job now for like going on 20 years, which is insane. And for someone like me, and so much has happened in the last few years that I'm blown away at the idea that I'm still absent and that I'm still sitting in front of you guys because my life fell apart a few years ago. So many things have happened. It's like hard to get in this little bit of time, but throughout my step work in this program, I was able to get out of that relationship. And I didn't even know that relationship, just like I didn't know about the food. Like I didn't know that this relationship was unhealthy until I got out of it, because it was like the only kind of relationship that I knew. And I discovered, that I was attracted to women and I fell in love with a woman and she was in these rooms too. And we had this beautiful life together and she raised my daughter from the time my daughter was like 5 years old and was like her second parent. And, we were both in this program together. We were like best friends, we were soulmates. Like we have this deep, deep, deep bond because of the 12 steps. There's something that bonds us to each other, like I can meet someone for the first time and like just feel this deep, deep love for them. Well, when you're in a relationship with someone in these rooms, it like escalates, like that deep feeling of love and that bond that I've never shared with anybody else. And a couple of years ago, out of the blue, she basically went into a hospital and never came out. And my world was ripped apart, My world was completely ripped apart, like instantly. And everything I ever knew and everything I ever loved, it felt like was just ripped from me. And at the same time, along with that, came like a lot of money that was gone instantly. And I had this job opportunity to move from California to Texas, all expenses paid by my job. And I decided to take it. And I'm one of these people who I love the idea of a geographic. And I made sure that that's not what this was because I really did want to escape. And I spent a lot of time. This was not something taken lightly. I had a therapist I talked in depth to. I talked to my sponsor. I talked to my fellows. I pray. I talked to my higher power. A lot of things. Before I made that decision, and I felt God with me every step of the way, and I decided to do that. And I will tell you guys that everything that I've touched since I've been here has turned to gold. I knew nobody here. My first, I knew I did hadn't even been on a plane. I had never even visited this place. And so this was such a huge leap of faith for me. And, there were times when like I couldn't even talk to God. Like honestly, this is one of the first time it's been now it's going on 3 years in July, she actually passed away. It'll be 3 years. This is like one of the first times I'm able to talk about it without sobbing, And I can feel it coming a little bit, but like I can kind of have a conversation about it today. And it hasn't been the case for a long time. And so I moved solely for financial reasons, but I have no idea how I remained abstinent. I honestly don't, because there were times when I didn't want to get out of bed and I honestly wasn't sure life was worth living anymore. I really struggled with that. And There were times when my prayer for maybe even a couple months was, okay, God. And I trust that like my higher power knows what that means, like take me and walk with me. I didn't even know what I would be walking into some days. And, I believe, and there's no logical reason why I'm still absent. There really isn't. When I doubt a higher power, which I do a lot, when I doubt a higher power, I just think back to my life and I think about all the things that have happened. And I remember this friend of mine, she said, she lost her husband and she was really young too in a motorcycle crash. I remember I was having a conversation with my friend and she was like, no one would blame you if you ate over this. Like, this is really big. And I remember thinking, you don't understand. This program, my recovery, my abstinence is the only thing, like the only joy left of my life right now. Like without it, I think that I don't know if I would care if I like ran off, a bridge without this program. There was something about this program that held me together. And also, it talks about in the big book that like God will show us how to create the fellowship we crave, And I remember one of the first things I did when I got here was like, I need to find my people. And I went to three in-person meetings the first week I got here. And also I had so much love. I can't even tell you guys, like the power of, I'm putting on this Texas State Convention next month and it's called The Power of We. And like the power of we that showed up in my life, I can tell you guys stories for hours that will just blow your minds. My partner was in the hospital. She was incapacitated, but she was alive for a couple months. And I was able to not work for 2 weeks, and I'm mostly commissioned. And not work for 2 weeks and then only work part time for the other two, only because people in OA started Venmoing me money and someone did a GoFundMe. And like, I kept getting like money every, people would like walk up to me and say, someone told me to give you this. And like, people were like writing me like blank check. It was just crazy, like everywhere I went. And because of that, like, I was able to spend those final moments with her. That, and be in the hospital with her for hours a day and not have to worry about paying my bills and paying my rent. And everything got taken care of. But also, I created the fellowship that I crave because I so easily could have disconnected the phone, hid in the house, and closed the blinds and just ate myself to oblivion. But I shared with anyone who would listen. I went. The weekend she passed away, my sponsor flew out from Georgia and came to my house and stayed with me. And we went to an OA convention that weekend. And I went up to the podium like every chance I got. And I just like sobbed. I remember that Friday night I went up there and it was like my partner just passed away. And I could barely talk. And I was talking about how my, and it was like one of those like stages where there was like no handrails. So I felt like my legs were so wobbly. Like I felt like I could barely stand up. And I talked and I said that. I remember saying that. And when I was done sharing, there was people waiting to walk me down the stairs. I remember going into a meeting on Sunday morning at that convention, and I just started sobbing out of nowhere. This woman I have never had a conversation with before came up to me, held me in her arms while I sobbed. There was no words exchanged. Like, where do you get this except for this program? But all with that said, like I worked this program like my life depended on it, even when I could do the bare minimum. And I think like for all these years, I think about it as like I worked such a strong program for all these years, and I put like those deposits into my spiritual bank account, and then all of a sudden I was spiritually bankrupt and I couldn't do it anymore. And I was still safe and protected. And that is such a miracle of this program. And today, I bought a house. I have a community out here, and everything that I've touched here has turned to gold. Like, I can't even tell you guys, out of anywhere in the world, this city that I had never even heard of before is like the most perfect city ever. It's like God just like planted me here. And the OA community here, like within a matter of like a couple months, like I just found my community. There, another miracle is like there was this meeting that I had heard about that was hybrid, and I hate hybrid meetings. And I refused to go to this hybrid meeting. I'm like, I'm not gonna drive an hour to this meeting to sit and stare at a screen. I was so closed-minded to the idea of it. Well, all of a sudden someone texts me, hey, someone gave me your phone number. We need a speaker. Would you come? And I was like, oh shit. Like, damn it, now I have to go. I went to that meeting and I fell so in love with these people, and they are like my sisters, and I can't even imagine my life without them. And that's how this program works. Even when I'm stubborn and I refuse to do something, like higher power finds a way. And I'm really grateful for all that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Let's give our speaker, Cindy, a big round of applause for an incredible share. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I'll read them out loud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which we'll have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour, and then in our parking lot. I can kick us off with a classic. What is your morning routine as far as program goes?
Oh man, I have a job. I have a really stressful job, I think, and I need a lot of time in the morning before I have to work just to prepare myself for my day. So I usually wake up between 5:30 and 6, and I work at 9. So I spend a lot of time in the morning. Just kind of, there's a lot of stuff that I do. I have this 12-step journal, and I just kind of do the things that the big book suggests for your morning. And I have two or three, usually mostly AA books that I read from. And then I usually have a sponsee call most mornings for like an hour or two.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And feel free also to message your questions in the chat. I have another one here. What tools do you use in difficult times instead of going to the food?
Well, for sure, like the phone and meetings. For me, it's like the connection is just, I need that connection with other people. And I've never felt a part of anywhere in my life until this program. And I think because I relapsed for many, many years. And I think the difference between that, that recovery that I had before and the one I have now, which now it's 12 and a half years I've been abstinent, and is like I put myself in the middle of the herd now, which I don't know that I did before. And a huge part of that is really connecting with other people. And like I go to conventions all like anytime there's an event in person, anytime there's a convention, I'm always there. And now I'm in Texas. We have a lot going on. There's like two retreats a year. There's usually two or three conventions, and then Oklahoma's pretty close by, so I go to like the Oklahoma stuff too. Anything I can do to get that connection with other people.
Awesome. Thank you. Another question that came in. Why did you stop doing what worked after your initial loss of 135 pounds?
I mean, I don't think it was like a conscious choice to, it's kind of like, I don't really remember the specifics. It was so long ago, honestly, but I just know that at some point I had to have stopped doing everything that worked, or maybe some stuff didn't work anymore. Like, I think probably in the beginning, like I could kind of get away with doing the bare minimum. And I didn't know what I didn't know, Like I was so new still, and no one had really sat me down to teach me about what real recovery was and how to get like this reprieve. And so it was kind of like I didn't really know any better, I think.
Thank you. And another one I received. How were you able to not eat over the loss of your partner? Like, how were you able to navigate that?
Yeah, that's a great question for higher power. I don't know. All I know is that I just kept taking the actions. I mean, logically, I don't know because, I know that I did, I surrounded myself with people and I shared with everybody and I talked to my sponsor all the time and I talked to anyone who would listen and I let people just love on me. Like, four different people from other states came out to visit me during that time. And because I let it know, I let everything be known and let people really get to know me. But I don't know how I didn't go to the food when I'm not sure I wanted to live. Like, I don't, that part, I don't know, like, why my recovery was so important to me when nothing else was. But I also think, like, even if I didn't want to, like maybe I wasn't sure life was worth living, but I certainly know that life and the food is not worth living. And I held on to that.
Thank you. And what was your journey with body image while kind of releasing such a significant amount of weight? And kind of were you able, or how were you able to sort of be in your body?
Yeah, that I actually have had some major body dysmorphia throughout my journey, and I've actually grown a lot with body image. There was a time when, like, I would not wear anything that wasn't like huge, baggy, like cover at all kind of stuff, and now I wear jackets just because I'm cold all the time because I lost all that weight, so I'm like freezing all the time. But I remember a time where like I would purposely, I had to cover everything. And today I think it's just the step goes back to the step work. And there was a time when several people on the street saw my body because I wasn't covering myself and asked me how I lost all my weight. And at first I didn't know what they were talking about. Like, I thought that I knew them from someplace, but I realized that this could be a way for me to like carry the message to other people. So like even today, if I go to, the doctor and they take my blood pressure because I have a lot of excess skin, especially on my arms, or if I have to give blood or whatever, there's always people still ask me about it, and I share OA with them. I think it's a really great way to share that. But I still I do not mind my body anymore at all. But it's like been a work in, but I do still have this extreme like body dysmorphia where like I think I'm really huge still, and like every month, stop, every month I'm absolutely like convinced that I've gained 10 pounds and I lose weight, like, and I could feel it on my body, like I could literally feel my t pants tight. It's so bizarre. And I'm just like, oh, this is it. I gotta change my plan. I gotta change my food plan. I've gained so much weight. I can barely breathe in my pants, and then I'll lose. And it's just like crazy.
Thank you. You said the weight loss is the least important of the miracles in working this program. What was the greatest miracle?
I think the greatest miracle is just feeling like the friendships that I've made and feeling like a part of. I mean, there's so many miracles, but like I just can't describe the joy that I have in my heart today, no matter what my circumstances are. Like, there's this peace and this joy that's deep inside that no one or nothing could take away because it has nothing to do with outside circumstances. And I have these deep, deep, deep friendships, and I've always felt like the black sheep of everywhere I've gone. My entire life, I've always felt completely alone in the world, like nobody understood me. And I have these people that like love me so much that I love, and they light up when I walk in a room, and I light up when they walk in a room, and they're like my sisters, and I just can't imagine wanting to be anyplace else.
Thank you. Another question that came in. Do you have yellow light foods or just foods that you don't eat no matter what?
Yeah, I have actually a ton of those, but but it's also evolved over the years. So like I don't really believe in yellow light foods, 'cause for me it's like it's either a problem or it's not. And throughout the years, my food plan has evolved many, many, many times. And today, like, I want peace and freedom with food, and anything that comes between that has to be looked at and has to go. And that's kind of how I try and live my life. If anything, even remotely, looks like it's starting to turn into a problem, then it's just not worth it to me.
Thank you. How long in program did it take for you to feel the way you just described? I've been here 4 years and I'm still waiting to feel that way.
Gosh, it's been, I don't know, it's been like, I mean, it's definitely been a long journey, and I work the steps over and over and over again. I usually work the steps like at least twice a year, and I've been absent now for over 12 years. So that's a lot of step. That's a lot of the peeling of the onion, and each time something new comes out of it, and I like myself more every time I work the steps. I actually just did a fit step. I'm in a workshop right now. I just did a fit step, and I realized that this one that like I really, really like myself today. And that was not always the case. But it takes time and it evolves. And like I think like I have no problem coming up with good things about myself, which is amazing. Like if someone gives me a compliment, I say thank you and I believe them. Like, I don't think, why would you feel that way about me? Like my partner would say things like, I'm so blessed to have you. And, what did I do to get so lucky? And I would never, and I'm not like, oh God, like, why would anyone want me? It's like, yeah, I am a catch, as we all are, right? Like I'm not any better than anybody else, but I'm certainly not any worse than anybody else.
Thank you. How did you navigate allowing others to help you in moments of isolation?
For me, I think it just comes down to like life or death. It talks about in the big book, like, we have two alternatives to face, going into the bitterness of alcoholism, and for me, like dying a death of compulsive overeating, or accepting spiritual help, which for me also includes communication, community with other people. And for me, it's like those are my alternatives. And I know that if I don't accept the help, and when I say death too, like I know that if I relapse today, I'm not gonna wake up tomorrow like 479 pounds, but within 24 to 48 hours, I will be experiencing a spiritual and emotional death, which can sometimes be worse than a physical one.
Thank you. What's in your action plan? How do you plan for difficult circumstances when going to an event?
Actually, today the food is a non-issue, so I don't really plan. Like, honestly, I mean, I know what I eat and I know what I don't eat, and the food is kind of a non-issue in my life, and it's neutral. So, like, I don't necessarily. I might go someplace and not know what I'm going to eat, but I know what I'm not going to eat, even if I don't exactly know what I am going to eat. And I think of the food as like alcohol, right? Like alcoholics, I read a lot of AA literature, I listen to AA podcasts all the time. Alcoholics drink, they just don't drink alcohol. And that's how I look at it with food. Like I eat my three meals, they're in their proper place. And I have my list of foods that I don't eat. And that, and it doesn't, very rarely do I go someplace and there's nothing that I could eat,
Thank you. And how have you gone about repeating a fourth step and reaching deeper?
I actually do a lot of different like workshops and stuff. So I do the steps in different ways. So there's a lot of different workshops that you could be involved in. Over the years, I've done it like multiple ways in different intergroups, different areas. Sometimes I'll do like ones that are specifically OA. Sometimes I'll do ones that are like all addictions. And each one gets me a little bit deeper in different areas of my life too, because as I'm growing and changing, other things crop up. Like I don't have body image issues anymore, but I have a lot of financial stuff. So that's the stuff coming out in this new one. So like a lot of things just kind of evolve over time.
And then I see what's been your experience sponsoring in this program, and how has that affected your recovery?
I love sponsoring. That wasn't always the case, but I have the most amazing sponsees right now. I love one thing I want to share a story real quick is that so I had a sponsee that came to me very soon, like right around the time, like maybe three or 4 weeks before my partner went in the hospital. And we first thing she told me is I need to work the steps really quickly, and I'm really struggling, and so we started off and we were doing well and everything. And then that happened. And, I told her, I said, I can't do it. I just can't. I said, I know that you need someone that's going to take you to the steps real quickly. And I just can't be that for you. And so I basically fired her and she wouldn't let me. And she said, I feel this really deep rapport with you and this connection with you. And if you're willing to have me, I'm willing to take as little or as much time as you're willing to give me. And later on, my sponsor said she may have saved your life. And like, we're still in contact today. And it's been like a beautiful, she ended up not like, she's not in OA anymore, but we still talk now and then. And it was like this beautiful relationship that probably was just another piece of the glue that binded me to this program in that time and gave me a reason to get out of bed in the morning, because that's what my sponsees do. They give me a reason to get up, when I know that I can't snooze when I can't snooze 5 times when I know I have a call at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or whatever it is,
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. Please, a huge round of applause to our speaker, and thank you for your service in answering all these questions as well.